I'm talking to Ephesians chapter 6. We'll be looking at verse 18 and 19. And we're almost finished. We may be finished. I haven't decided. But we've been through the whole book of Ephesians so far. And I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have studying. And so I'm going to put the title up there. And watch and pray. What we're going to be looking at. And the theme really is what it was for the last two services when we preached in Ephesians. That is attacking Satan. Okay, because that's really what this is all about. I mean, really the context you see in verse 11, which is being able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Okay, so that's what all this is about. The last two sermons on this text, the armor of God, these are all directly related to how to fight Satan, okay? So we can't forget that. But, and we talk about prayer, I came across a story of a lady who was an activist in 1972 and during the Vietnam War. And she shares a story where she had traveled to Vietnam, and while she was there, there was a bombing campaign that lasted 12 days. Listen to what she said. She said, "We spent the whole time in the basement of our hotel. I've never been so afraid in my life. I thought I was going to die. But I learned something. When the flames started coming toward you, everyone starts praying. Even the atheist and the agnostic started praying. But when the flames started fading away, we would all go back to the structures and the belief that we had before." I think that paints a sad but an accurate picture of prayer in the believer, in the average believer's life. When we have a problem, we're going to talk about it in a minute later, when we have a problem in our lives, we pray like never before. But we're going to find out how we should be that way every day, Brother Mark. But when things start letting up, and I'm as guilty as anyone else, when the flames of lie, when the problem seems to kind of disappear, we tend not to pray so much. We tend not to care. We tend to, and I've seen it as a pastor, someone has a problem, they start coming to church more faithfully. But when the problem goes away, they go back to what she said, well, when the flames start fading away, we go back to the same structures and belief that we had before. John MacArthur said, "It is especially easy for Christians who live in a free and prosperous society to feel secure, just as they presume on instead of depending on God's grace." In other words, it's easy to become so dependent on our physical resources that we feel little need for spiritual resources. You know, I said it on Wednesday night, and I'll say it in here, is that if gas went to $20 a gallon, people might start showing up to church out of desperation, right? And take away America's comforts, and you take away America's money, and take away the economy, people might need God again. But let's not be too hard on them, because we've got it good. And a lot of times it shows up in a lack of prayer. We don't spend a lot of time on our knees most of the time because we've got what we need. In other words, our physical blessing can blind us for the need to pray. But also something else is our spiritual blessing can hinder us. You say, what do you mean? That sounds like an oxymoron. Well, listen to what so far in Ephesians, Paul has told us that if you're a Christian, you have been blessed with spiritual blessings. You are chosen, predestined, and adopted as God's children. You are redeemed and forgiven. You receive an inheritance. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. You're greatly loved by God. You're made alive and new in Christ. You're a workmanship of Christ. You're made one with Christ. You're made citizens of heaven. You're given boldness and confidence to access to God. You have been individually and uniquely gifted by Christ, and you've been given the full armor of God. That is a breathtaking list of blessings a believer has as a child of God. But I like what MacArthur said again on it. He said, Paul realizes the great danger that is likely to follow temptation to self-satisfaction and spiritual arrogance. I've talked about this not long ago, and it's something we have to make sure we do not get to, but because we are, if you are saved, and hopefully you have grown in the Lord, and hopefully you don't do what other people do, and you do live life by the grace of God, and live more obedient, it's real easy to become arrogant because of your spiritual standing. It's real easy to turn your relationship with Christ into a religion and become very proud of what you do and what others don't. And because of that, that spiritual arrogance, sometimes we don't pray. You say, what's your point? Here it is, ready? Many believers don't pray like they need to. Let me change it. There's a really good chance that if you're a believer in this room, that you probably don't pray like you need to. Adrian Rogers said this, for many Christians, the major failure in life is failing to learn to pray. Adrian said, the biggest failure in most believers' life is the failure not to pray. But here's the problem with that. Prayer is vital to spiritual victory. I mentioned last week, prayer was not mentioned as one of the weapons for battle. That's because it's much more than a weapon. Prayer is not merely another godly weapon, as important as those weapons are. Prayer is the very spiritual air that the soldier of Christ breathes. I'm going to say that again. Prayer is the very spiritual air that the soldier of Christ breathes. Luke 18:1. And he spake a parable to them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. You know what that tells me, Miss Janet? There's two options in your life, spiritually speaking. Pray or faint. I mean, and I'm not trying to be insensitive, but if you or fainting in your life. If you just can't get a handle on life and you're a Christian, then there's a real good chance that you're not praying. Many believers are fainting because they live prayerless lives. So it's not a surprise that while Paul is telling us to fight, Satan tells us to pray. Think about it. Satan was after Peter in the garden. We know this, Luke 22:31. It says, and the Lord says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But what did Jesus say to him? In Matthew 26:41, Jesus told Peter, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Know this. It shouldn't be a surprise that Paul tells us the same thing. Let's look here at Ephesians 6:18. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching. There it is, see? Watch and pray. The devil is after you, and Paul essentially says the same thing that Jesus said, which was, watch and pray. They're in tune with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given for me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel. Let's pray. Father, I ask for the next few minutes if we talk about the topic of prayer, but also on the topic of how to combat Satan, Father. And as we sit here, that Lord, every person here will open their hearts to not to what I'm saying, but what the Word of God teaches. And Lord, help us, give me the anointing to rightly divide and to share what your Word teaches. And Lord, help us apply it to our lives. Lord, I ask you, Father, to be with us and help us to do that today. In Christ's name, amen. Watch and pray. How are we going to combat Satan? It's going to blow your mind, but number one, here it is, pray. When I was sitting there and I was studying this passage, and I tried to come up, Brother Mark, with a clever way of saying it. I'm trying to come up with what, but sometimes when you're building a sermon, sometimes you just have to stop and say, what is it saying? What is it saying? And what it's saying, when you read verse 18, it says praying. So the first thing you need to do, and you need to understand, when you pray every day, when you don't pray, I don't know, you need to pray. If you're not praying, you're going to faint, and the Satan's going to get you. So let's look at three things underneath this, though, and about prayer that Paul teaches us. Letter A here is the frequency of prayer. See, the frequency, which means how often and how should we pray? Well, it says here in verse 18, it says, praying always with all prayer. So always literally means this. I think Rob Picker really the one that said this, in every season. We understand seasons. There's winter, there's fall, summer. And so when you say that, in that always, that means in every season of your life, whether it's a good season, whether it's a bad season, whether it's just the in-between, whether you feel like praying, whether you don't feel like praying, what we are to do is we are to be praying in every situation in our lives. By the way, just to kind of further this, the word praying there is a participle, which means if you look that up in the Greek, it's a continuous or repeated action. What that means is that we are to always be praying. Now, we can close our Bibles right now, Brother Sonny, and go home, but what does that mean? Sometimes when we read the Word of God, and this what gets me sometimes, stuck sometimes, and what does that mean? What does that look like? I mean, pray, it sounds great. You should always pray. But what does that mean? Does that mean we ought to pray every waking minute of our lives? Does that mean that right now that we're not doing what God told us because we're not praying? Because I'm not praying right now. I'm preaching. Well, of course not. I mean, we didn't even know that Jesus, one guy said, Jesus did not do that, nor the apostle, nor is it humanly possible to pray all the time. So what is it talking about? One guy, and I think I like this, to pray at all time and to live in continual God consciousness where everything we see and experience becomes a kind of prayer. To obey his exhortation, it means that when you're tempted, we ask God for help. It means when we experience something good, we thank the Lord for it. And when we see evil around us, instead of shaking a finger and coming to church and talking about how bad it is, we pray that God will make it right. When we meet someone who doesn't know Christ, we pray to God to save them. When you wake up in the middle of the night worried, you ever woke up in the middle of the night worried? I have. Worst feeling in the world. And pray. It means that when you leave here and you get out in your car and someone cuts you off and you want to get mad, you pray. It's a continual idea that your prayers never have an amen. You haven't done that? I do that sometimes, and I pray to God. I say, amen. It's almost like I shut the door, and I go about my life, and I can't talk to God again, Brother Mark, until that night when I get home. But that's not what he's saying. I always mean, when you're going down the road, you pray. Always, when something hits your mind, hey, maybe you do something wrong. You ask God to forgive you. When someone does something good, it's the idea. And how many times do we get blessed, and we don't thank God for it? You know what that is? You're not continually thinking about that God is here. I think I wrote down right here. And prayer should be done throughout the day and often. Over every matter and every situation. We should be living in a constant state and our Father is waiting to hear from us. And we need to take advantage of it 24/7. That's what it means to pray always. We see the frequency of prayer. Now, letter B, let's look at the forms of prayer. And it says right there, we're systematically going through these verses. Verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Well, prayer really is just a general request. Supplication is a specific petition made in prayer. Now, to be honest, as I studied, there probably shouldn't be too much of a sharp contrast between the two. What Paul's really getting at is that the intensity, that prayer should be important, and it should be something we think about all the time. And so both words point to the ideal that involves all kinds of prayer and every form of prayer. Now, here's what's great, Miss Janet. We're about to pray all the time, right? You know, throughout the day. Well, I'm so glad that the Bible doesn't tell us one way to pray, Brother Sonny. The Bible doesn't say, okay, to pray to God, you have to do like the Muslims. You know, point your face in a certain direction. You ain't got to put on a tie and come to church and kneel at the altar to pray. You ain't got to do it just in the morning. You ain't got to do it softly, or you can do it loud. Here's a crazy one. You need to pray with your eyes open. A lot of times when I pray for my food, I'm looking around. Just because, why not? We don't have to pray, Lord. There's no, let me tell you, scriptural precepts and allowance suggest that we may pray publicly or privately, in loud cries, in soft whispers, or silently, deliberately, or planned. See, there's nothing wrong with deliberate praying. There's nothing wrong. You need to have a deliberate time to pray. Or spontaneous, while sitting, while standing, while kneeling, or laying down, or at home, or in church, working, traveling, eyes open, eyes closed. The point is, prayer is not restricted to one kind of form, tone, or place. And I'll be honest with you, your prayer life and how you pray will probably indicate how well you know Jesus. You know, Brother Mark, like if I don't know someone, like in authority, I'm very polite. I'm not very transparent. I'm very guarded with what I say. And if you pray that way, now I don't have anything to back this up with except my own opinion, then you probably don't know God that well. God will tell them what you're thinking. Be open. He's your friend. He already knows it. Sometimes I joke. Sometimes when I pray at supper or something, sometimes I'll say something like, you know, like maybe something like, well, and I'll say something funny in my prayer. A little bit. You shouldn't say that. Why? Well, God already knows it. I mean, we don't have to be stoic when we pray. No matter the place, no matter the posture, no matter the petition, you can pray. There's no restrictions. Let me ask you, do you pray throughout the day? I mean, the problem with most of us, if we sing this but we don't practice it, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. But I'm going to tell you something. If you wait until the end of the day to pray, you're not going to take everything to God. You know why? Because you're going to forget. And you're missing out on a blessing. That's the biggest thing. You're missing out on a blessing. Because God wants you to talk to Him. When there's something, the other day I was going down the road and something was bothering me. And I caught myself not praying. I was studying this. Well, I'm missing a blessing. No wonder I struggle so much sometimes because I don't take it to God in prayer. Then. Because we think, at least I do. I think sometimes that I got to be in my prayer closet. And we've heard so much about that type of stuff that we forget that really praying always, all the time. Just imagine how your day would go when something happened, good, bad, expected, unexpected, sad, happy. Then we went to God through it. We went to God about it right then. I wonder how a day would go. I want tomorrow when you got every problem, every blessing, every decision you had to make. And you said, Lord, help me with this. Lord, thank you for doing that for me. I wonder how much more joy and peace we would have. I know what we would. Because if you're not doing that, that's why you're fainting. That's why my stomach's in knots sometimes. Because I've got all this stuff from 2 or 3 weeks, and I'm not going to the Lord with it. Right then. But He's there. Like I said, it might be thank you. It might be help me. It might be forgive me. It might be give me. It might be direct me. But whatever it is, we need to be doing that continually throughout the day. We see the frequency of prayer. We see the forms of prayer. Then let us see if the foundation of prayer. You say, what do you mean? Well, look at the verses right there in verse 18. Okay, so praying always, that's the frequency. With prayer and supplication, that's the form. And here's the foundation. In the Spirit. All right. This is the most important and persuasive thought Paul gives about prayer. It should be done in the Spirit. So here's the formula to prayer. We pray to the Father, through the Son, and in the Spirit. Okay? But before we get to what that means here, I want to share a problem. We can pray in the flesh. So, what do you mean? Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit maketh itself intercessory for us. Here's the thing. Sometimes we don't know how to pray, and sometimes we pray in the flesh. Sometimes your prayer is not being answered. I'm going to back this up here in a minute because you're praying for the wrong thing. You're praying for what you want and not what God wants. We don't know how to pray and the Spirit helps us. So here's the question. What does praying in the Spirit mean and how do we do it? Well, I think I'm going to finish this verse here. Romans 8:26, verse 27. It says, and he that searches the heart knoweth what the mind of the Spirit, because he makes an intercessory for the saints according to the will of God. Okay, so here's how the Spirit prays. You ready? When the Spirit helps us pray, he prays according to the will of God. So, it's really easy. Nothing hocus pocus about it. When we are to pray in the Spirit, that means we ought to pray according to the will of God. That means what God wants, okay? And I say it like this all the time. Here's what And I can't explain why God heals some people and not other people, but when people get sick or something bad happens, you know the most important thing in God's eyes is that you act Christ-like. Right? I mean, if you have a problem, what God wants more than anything is for you to continue being faithful to Him. God will always answer that prayer. See my point? You have to pray according to God. If you have someone you don't like, you know what God wants? God wants you to love that person. When you pray, Lord, help me to love my enemy. Guess what? God's going to answer that prayer. You know why? Because that's according to His will. Here's what we do. We pray for everything that we want. Nothing wrong with that necessarily. But praying in the Spirit is praying according to the will of God. When the Spirit prays, it prays according to what God wants. When we pray, we don't always pray for what God wants, but what we want. To pray in the Spirit and to pray consistently with Christ's nature and will. That's what it means. Let me ask you. I'm going to be honest. How much is your prayer line surrounded by praying for the things you know God wants? How much is your prayer line? I like what Brother Mike did every Sunday morning. He said, we need to pray for the lost. That's the will of God. How many times do you spend and say, Lord, help me? You know what God's will for your life is? To love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. How many times do you spend praying for them things? How many times do you say, Lord, I don't have a lot of patience. I'm not a real long-suffering person. I'm not gentle. I don't control my tongue very well. And Lord, I know that all these things is the will of God. I know all these things are what you want. How much time you spend praying for things like that? Because that's what it means to pray in the Spirit. And well, again, it's fine to pray for things you want. But you need to understand that is what God wants. God, if you're in a valley, what God wants anything is for you to grow in Christ. Don't miss that opportunity. Anyways, to pray in the Spirit, and with the Spirit's help, we pray, putting effort to pray for what God wants. Or for what God wants. We need to be praying. That's how we're going to combat Satan. So number one, pray. So what do we do now? Number two, Paul tells us, pray with persistence. Letter A is the process. The process, letter A. So there's a process. The first is the manner. The goal is stated in verse 18, okay? It says, we'll read the whole thing. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So that's prayer. We learned all about that. Watching thereunto with all perseverance. So that's the manner in which you pray. With perseverance, it means persistence. It means not giving up. It means being steadfast. Now, I'll be honest with you. My prayer life, too many times for the moment, is like this. And if I'm just completely honest. Which is why I struggle, and probably a lot of you do, that's why I struggle with contentment, peace, why I struggle with fear, why I struggle with joy. Because I'm fainting because my prayer life is like this. See, we need to pray, always. 3 years from now, we need to be praying always. We want to pray and keep praying. Colossians 4:2 says, continue in prayer. The word continue there means devoted. We are to be devoted to prayer. How devoted are you? How devoted are you to praying? Like I said, I keep saying, I know you get here tired of saying this phrase, but I'll say, many times in my life, prayer can be a hit or miss. It can be an inconsistent practice. And I would imagine there's some of you in the same boat. So here's the question. We know the manner. We should be praying with persistence, perseverance. But how do we do that? Well, maybe you're like, you need some motivation. So that's what we're going to see right here. Here's the motivation. Let me say this first. Problems motivate us to pray. Right, Miss Tammy? Problems. Just problems. If I have problems, I'm going to pray. I was joking with my cousin in Arizona. His kids had the stomach bug. And he said, I'm probably going to get it. And I'm not looking forward to it. We were joking. And I've said this before. But when I have a stomach bug, I pray the most I've ever prayed. I'm asking God to forgive me of everything. I'm asking God, whatever you want, I'll go anywhere. And I'm laying on the bathroom floor in a cold sweat. Why? Because problem leads you to pray. Okay, so stay with me. I'm getting somewhere. We pray when we're in a difficult place in life. We pray when we have problems. We pray when we get bad news. One writer said, most Christians never get serious about prayer until a problem arises in their own life or in the life of someone they love. Then they are inclined to pray intently, specifically, and persistent. And that's just a fact. And I'm not saying that to beat you up. When we have problems, that's when we start praying specifically, intently, and persistently. And yet, that's the way we should always pray. However, whatever the worst problem is that you've had in your life, that's how we should pray all the time. So, what do we need to do? How can we get motivated, Brother Sonny, to pray? Ready? Here it is. Ready? It's right here. Look at verse 18. Watching. 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 He said, what do you mean? Look around. Look around. Just look in this room right here, and there's plenty of things for you to pray about. We got brothers and sisters in Christ who have problems. You may not have a problem, but somebody does in this room. And you got a long list of problems in this room, physical and spiritual, that we can pray for. And that's what it means. What means to keep spiritually alert in a way that will result in prayer. It means to be aware and awake and just be concerned to pray. When we decide to look around spiritually and alert, we'll be motivated to pray. And I'm going to say something, especially spiritual alert. And I'm not talking just when we look around with the spiritual eyes, there's a lot of problems. There's a lot of people going to hell. There's a lot of people who need Jesus. There's a lot of people who are backsliding. There's a lot of people who are just struggling spiritually. We got cleaning. Let me say it like this. When I look at my daughter in a spiritual way, I see a girl who has a sin nature that needs salvation. That leads me to pray. If I'm alert, it leads me to pray spiritually. When I look at my daughter in a spiritual way, I see a girl who's going to have temptations just like us. It leads me to pray that God will put a hand about her and help her to be sensitive to the things of God. See, when we become alert, there's so many problems that we can hit our knees at any time and pray. See, the reason we don't pray is because we're not motivated, and we're not motivated because we don't care. We're in la-la land. We're worried about football coming up. We're worried about this and that. We're about what we're going to eat. We're worried about getting there on time. But we don't see the people. We don't see the problem because we don't look at them spiritually. We're not devoted. The problem is that we don't pray very long because we only pray for us. If we look around, you know, motivate us to pray. John MacArthur said this. Sensitive to the problems and needs of others will lead us to pray for them night and day, as Paul did. Paul said, I pray night and day for you. Why? Because Paul was focused on them and saw all the problems. The process to praying with persistence is to look around and have plenty to pray for. We see the process for letter B here, we see the people. Now it says there, well, even just breaking down this verse, I love it when it breaks down this way. When it says, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So in this context, and we have to remember, so it's fine to apply this in in other ways and things, even for unsaved, there's nothing wrong with that. But in context, didn't talk about prayer for other believers. And that's it. In context. There's no doubt we should pray for the unsaved. And there's no doubt we should pray for this, but we're praying for saints. Why? Why? Because the saints are the ones who are being attacked by Satan. That's the context. Spiritual warfare is going on. We should be actively praying for believers' spiritual well-being. One of the most important aspects for a believer in a valley isn't getting out of the valley, but staying close to God while in the valley. Let me ask you, when someone's going through something tough, do you actually pray that they'll stay close to God? Do you ask them, do you ask God to put a hedge around them where Satan can't get to them? For no, Satan's after them. I wonder if there might be a few more people still in church today if we'd have done that. Oh, we're praying for the problem. We're praying to be healed. But do we pray for that person continue to walk with God? Because let me tell you, if you've been in a valley, I have, it's tough to stay close to God. That's what that's talking about. He's talking about praying for one another because Satan is after us. And we should care about one another and pray for them. Let me ask you, do you pray with persistence? Do you pray for others spiritually? That's really, not just spiritually, to be protected from Satan. I mean, do them words come off of your tongue in your prayers, Lord, protect Brother Mark this week, because Satan's going to be after him. I wonder how much better Brother Mark would do this week if we prayed for him. And Brother Sonny, and Brother Howard, and Miss Janet, and all of us pray for one another that Satan not get to you, I wonder how much better we'd be. But do you pray that? See, that's the thing. That's why we're not as good as we think we are. We've got a lot to grow. Because I can only speak for myself. I don't do a lot of that. I do some, but not like I should. But that's what we're to do. When Satan attacks, pray. Pray with persistence. And number three, pray and petition others to pray. You say, what do you mean? Let's look here at verse 19. And as for me, that's Paul. Paul said, pray for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, and I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel. So, and I'm going to go real quick because I knew I'd be running up my time here. But letter A here, and what we see here is share. Share. You need to share your need. That's what Paul did. Paul said, hey, I need you to pray for me. We need to be petitioning other people to pray. So we should all be doing it. I should all be praying for y'all and each other, but then I should go to you and say, I need you to pray for me. Over this and this and this. But did we do that? Some. But in context, I don't think we really do. I mean, very few of us come to me or vice versa or in church say, look, you know, pray for me to stay close to God this week. I drifted. Pray for me. Satan really got me this week. Pray for me. Then I'll do better. Now, I don't think I've yet to hear someone say, hey, pray for me, Satan's after me. Pray that God will put a defense around me. I've been here almost 6 years. In November it'll be 6 years. I've not heard that yet. Yet, that's what the Word of God is telling us to do. He's saying pray over the spiritual thing, especially Satan attacking you. Hey, do you pray for your kids that Satan won't get them? We need to share a need. We need to share. We need to ask people and then let her be here in specific. You need to specify your needs. You say, where did you get that? Well, I mean, in verse 19, it says, and for me, he didn't say, I'm not against it. I understand that in some situations, I think it's a sad testimony. I understand some things, but I have it unspoken. Well, that's okay. And I understand that sometimes. Paul didn't do unspokens. Look what Paul did. Paul said, and for me, that the utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. That therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. I mean, he was pretty specific. He said, utterance be given to me, help me to speak boldly, help me to know, or make known the gospel. We need, we need to be specific. But we don't like to do that. I remember 10 years ago, I remember sending a lot of my friends and my cousin. I said, hey, how can I pray for you? And it's sad how generic the requests are. We need to be specific. We need to share them with people. And I didn't put this in here, but Paul's request was spiritual. It was spiritually, it was about spiritual things. Here's the thing. Paul prayed for others, but Paul also petitioned others to pray. We need to do the same. In conclusion here, I want you to remember this. Satan is prowling like a lion and devouring people. You say, what can I do? What can I do? Three things. Three things. Pray. Pray with persistence and get others to pray. If you do that and you put on the whole armor of God, victory will be yours. But we've got to do that. As we stand with our feet, stand up with our heads, our eyes closed, and I'm messing everything up, my head bowed. Miss Brenda will come play. I simply want to ask you, where are you at? How is your prayer life? And honestly, we can apply this to everything, not just in the context of Satan attacking us, but how is your prayer life? Hey, do you pray with a constant thought and talk to God throughout the day about your problem and your weaknesses and the things going on? And that's what we're supposed to do. Do you pray with persistence? Are you a prayer warrior only when things go bad? Or are you a prayer warrior 24/7? 365 days of the year. I don't know, but as she begins to play, if God spoke to your heart, I want to encourage you to come to the altar and pray. It'd be a great way to conclude today is by some of us getting together and praying.